well, just as you start thinking that things are as big as they can be and that they cannot get more hectic and more newsworthy, boom, football hits you with another bombshell bigger than the one before. Welcome to the Sokoladuma Transfer Rep. I am Nkululeko Ngewu. In this week's episode, we summon Joe Cran's assistance on the transfer of George Libese to Mamelodi Sundowns. Kurt Bakkerfeld brings us interesting news about Neymar's potential replacement. And in our story behind the story, Peter Dutoit takes a look at Leonardo Castro's future with Mamelodi Sundowns. Sokoladuma Radio. This is a monumental week once again, and I remember that we spoke last week and we spoke about Manyisa being monumental, and I alluded to the fact that nothing will get bigger than that in this transfer window. Well, guess what? I was wrong, because this is another monumental week, because Libisi went to Sundowns from Kaizer Chiefs. Coach Rulani Mokoena went to Orlando Pirates from Mamelodi Sundowns. I'm now joined by Joe Cran. He's a Sokoladuma journalist. You've heard him on TV. You've seen him on TV. You've heard him on the radio. Joe, thank you very much for your time. How are you, sir?
Oh, good, brother. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you very much, man. Last week, I set up your colleague, Masebe Krina, into confirming if this was going to be the most monumental thing that happened in this transfer window, and he said yes, nothing would be bigger than that. And guess what, a week later something is bigger. What is happening? Coach Rulani Mokoena first to Orlando Pirates. Can you tell us about what happened there and how do you view that?
Hey, I mean, it's massive. I think that anybody who's followed Sundown of late, anyone who's listened to Fitzo Matimani speak about Rulani, will know just how big a signing that is for Pirates. He's a coach that is loved by the players. He's respected highly by the coaches that have worked with him. And I think that potentially for me, signing Rulani could possibly be Pirates' best signing of this window. Regardless of what happens with the players, I think that Rulani coming in as a coach is absolutely massive to them.
And one of the things that we've done in 2 weeks back in one of our editions on Sokoladuma in the newspaper, we did a spread on him and my coach Manqoba Mngqithi. And one of the things that I observed from the former player, Lebogang Mokoena, he was saying that, one, they call him Mourinho, and the reason for that is because of his meticulous planning, and the fact that when it comes to video analysis, he even knows the size, the shoe size of the opposition players. Let's look at that. I agree with you in the sense that it may just be that this is the Pirates' biggest transfer in this transfer window, even though he's an assistant coach. Now let's talk about the nitty-gritties about this, and look at the angles. Now, Coach Rulani Mokoena is known to be the nephew of Jomo Sono, and could that have played a role in him deciding to go? And we know Jomo Sono and the history of Orlando Pirates. Could that be a reason why he went there? Why would he go from Sundowns, defending their championship in the CAF Champions League, to Orlando Pirates?
I think part of it is, I think there has been talk of him potentially taking over as head coach at some point. And I think that is obviously something he's looking towards. He's done his as an assistant. He's taken on this role as an assistant, but I think that he sees that in the future, and he's probably been told that in the future, Pirates do see him as a potential head coach. And I think that, like I say, is something that's probably played a big role. He spoke on social media this morning, and he said that he wants to try and bring back the sleeping giant. And I think he said that I stand to be corrected on the exact wording, but he said that he wants to dry the tears of his late grandfather. So there is obviously it is more than just a football move. There is an emotional pull with Orlando Pirates with Rulani as well.
So there is a sense of sentiment
part of it. Yeah, I think there's definitely some sentiment as well as the actual logistical side of things as well.
All right, and you think that Coach Stradojevic, was it something that he would have wanted as well? Because we know that new coaches like to go into an environment and bring in their own man, their own yes man, right wing man, type of thing. Do you think that he would have bought into the idea of bringing in an equally good coach, and would that not intimidate him?
Well, I mean, I think that will be up to Micho. That will all come down to how he deals with him. I think any coach in the country would be lucky to have Rulani at the side of him. So he obviously with Micho, he's done his time in Africa. He did a great job with Uganda. He's a very different coach to the Micho that was in charge of Pirates a decade ago.
And of course, still staying with Mamelodi Sundowns, there's George Lebese and his tweet and the fact that he's from Mamelodi. He's a fan of Mamelodi Sundowns. Now, when you look at that, you look at what Kaizer Chiefs did prior to letting him go. They signed from Maritzburg United Philani Zulu. From Cape Town City, they signed Bongolotu Jaia. Would you say that they anticipated losing George Lebese? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you say, that there is a historical link for George at Sundowns, and it was made blatantly obvious by the comments that Chiefs have made, that it was his decision to move. He told them he wanted to leave and he wanted to move on. And personally, for me, I think it is the right choice for George. I think he needed a sort of a fresh environment. I think he plateaued at Chiefs, and he needed something new, a new challenge elsewhere. And I think it's going to be interesting now to see how he does at Sundowns. I think if anyone can get the best out of George, then it's going to be Pitso. So we'll have to see now. I think that if I was a Chiefs fan, and this it looks like this move is a cash deal with no swap, I would be looking for the club to bring in someone as a, not necessarily as a replacement for George, but as a bit of a marquee signing, because the ones they've brought in so far have been a little bit low-key, and I think that the fans will be wanting to see this money spent elsewhere. But it's now a case of, George started training today. He said that this has been a move that's been, yeah, I think his words were, it was, he said to his mum and dad on social media, he said to the family and friends that have wanted this move, like it's finally happened. So even though it's only been sort of on the cards in actual fact for a little while, it looks like it has been something that his family have been getting on his back about for a while now.
And now, I mean, this is an important question, and we've been speaking offline with a few colleagues about this, that, and Masebe as well, with the previous episode of the Transfer Rap. What does this mean? In the grand scheme of things, does this mean that Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates are conceding to Sundown's superiority, that they would sell their crown jewels to them directly? Are they saying that, here we go, we are helping you win the Absa Premiership 2017-2018? As a journalist, do you see it that way?
No, I think that Manisa has been off form for 2 years now, and I think Pirates have sold him to Sundowns and are probably going to get players in return. When he hasn't been, I mean, like I say, 2 years now, I think we haven't seen the best of Opa. We've seen him in bits and bats. I think Chiefs realised that George Lebese had plateaued, that he didn't play as much as people wanted him to last season. He also played, and he played well in patches, and I think that the two deals for me are, I wouldn't say that the Soweto Giants were conceding anything. I think that they've sold two players, and they're probably both got good deals for them as well. And they can, it's up to them now to see how they sort of move on from it. I think, yes, obviously Pirates sold their captain. Manisa has been a massive part of that club for a long time now, but like I say, I don't think we've seen the best of him for a while now, and it's now up to Pitso to try and rekindle both of those, but he obviously thinks he can do so.
And of course, with that argument that you're making, that there's no conceding of superiority for Sundowns here, there's another side to it, that is Sundowns then inheriting a crop of players that are past their prime then, if that's the case?
Well, I think you've also got to look at it. I don't think it's an either-or situation. Just because they haven't been doing well for their clubs before doesn't mean that they're finished, and I think that it's, like I say, we've got to see what happens now. We've got to see what Pitso and his technical team can get out of Opa and George. And just because they like I say, had plateaued or weren't at their best at Chiefs and Pirates, it doesn't mean that they can't go on to shine elsewhere. I mean, I don't think it's an exclusivity thing where we say that because Chiefs haven't, like, just by saying that Chiefs and Pirates haven't made a bad decision, doesn't mean that Sundowns have made a bad one either. It could be a move that suits all parties, and I think that until we see what Pitso's plans are for the boys, I think it would be unfair to really say that it's a bad deal for Sundowns or that it's a bad deal for Chiefs and Pirates. I think we've got to give them time and see how they adapt now.
It's quite a sobering view and a refreshing view, because it's been an either-or situation from a layman's perspective. The people that follow football just from an ordinary basis would have thought that, okay, these guys are just giving away their talents. Well, we'll keep an eye on it, and only time will tell whether or not this is giving away the title to Mamelodi Sundowns. And of course, Joe Cran is a Sokola Duma journalist that looks at an eye, that takes a look at SA players abroad. A story that has been going on now has been about Bongani Zungu, Bafana Bafana International, playing for Vitória Guimarães. Coincidentally scored just recently in their 3-2 win over Chaves. What's the story with him? Has he conceded that he's staying at the moment? Just an update.
So Bongzi, obviously, like you say, he scored against Chaves last night. A very, very good game. I watched the match last night as they won. Good start to the season for them. Great goals from Bongs as well. But I think we reported last week, I think it was, that there's a new contract on the table and that it looks like he's going to sign it. So I think that for the time being, Bongani Zungu will be staying at Guimarães. They absolutely love him. The club, the fans worship him there, and I think that he's excited now to see how he can help them in the Europa League this season. So I don't think we'll be seeing Bongani Zungu leave, especially not in this transfer window. And obviously things can change, and never say never, because you never know what's going to happen. But as things stand now, my understanding is that Zungu will be staying with Guimarães for the time being.
And I must concur that it was a good goal. Joe Cran, you can find him on Twitter at YesWeCran. He's a Sokola Duma journalist. Joe, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Always a pleasure, mate. I'll speak to you guys soon.
In his first season in the PSL, he scored 14 goals and he was an exciting striker. He inspired Mamelodi Sundowns to the CAF Champions League. Last season, 1 goal in 17 appearances, mostly due to injuries. His name is Leonardo Castro. He's a Colombian superstar, plays for Mamelodi Sundowns as a forward. Peter joins me now, Peter Dutoy, to discuss the story behind the story, because there is something there. There is a potential that Mamelodi Sundowns might let him go to a potential suitor. Peter Dutoy will tell us who is that suitor. Peter, thank you very much for your time. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, obviously, especially when I speak to the Sokola Duma readers, listeners and users.
Yes, and it's very nice to have you here. The Colombian, what do you make of him and his abilities at Mamelodi Sundowns?
Castro has been a huge success in South African football, particularly in his first year. And he's built a reputation as a very effective player, not only somebody who scores goals, but in particular a striker who makes space for other players and contributes to the team. And Billet's success in Castro's first season was to a great extent due to their partnership. So not only somebody scored goals, he was a great team player and used very effectively by Pitsimo Simoni in his first season.
There is a reality that Mamelodi Sundowns have exceeded their space for the foreign quota, and there are rumors that he may be one that is sacrificed. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Well, regardless of the foreign player quota, the important thing to look at, and when you look at behind the scenes, you actually have to look at the player himself and the body language and the appearance of Castro when he's on the pitch for Sundowns and when he's even sitting on the bench is a completely different player to the player who was around, the body language of the player in his first season. And that tells you the state of the mind of a player. And an unhappy player is a player who wants always to leave, or he wants something to change. So there's no doubt that if you look at the body language of Castro, there's something wrong. He's not happy. Now, behind the scenes, why is the player not happy? Well, injury obviously played a role, but the two bigger factors are, right now that he's come back from injury, is one, he's not playing regularly. Now, he's not playing regularly because the coach has either got better combinations or he's not happy with the player's attitude either. And if you look at the player's attitude, one of the biggest problems we're told is that the player's got whiff of his salary versus some of the other players, or majority of the other players. And there's strong rumor that he's upset that the contract he's been offered is not in line with what the other players are earning. Now, these things, you're not going to get anybody going on record on this, not the player, not the agent, and not the club, certainly. But without a doubt, he has not signed. You just have to look at the facts. He has not signed the extension. You only don't sign the extension because you're not happy with something. Now, it could be that he wants to leave South Africa and go back to his homeland or overseas, but that means he's unhappy. But our CEO crew have said that's not the real problem. The real problem is wants more money, and if he's not going to get more money, he'd like to move to another club in South Africa. That'll give him more money, and a good opportunity exists right now. Orlando Pirates need a striker, and Castro would fit that bill. And just remember the Nigerian striker who was signed, stroke, but he's now unsigned and he's back in Nigeria.
In Nigeria, yeah.
What's his name? Obizo?
Yes, Christian Obizo. It's very interesting that he was signed / unsigned, and it's very comical as well.
Yeah, so they've got a space for a big striker, and Castro would fit the bill. And don't be surprised if you see Castro there, especially after what's happened with Manyisa.
Casting an eye on Mamelodi Sundowns and their options, if they let Castro go, they would have up front Kamabiliet, who's not an out-and-out striker, Peseta, who's not an out-and-out striker, Anthony Lafour, not an out-and-out striker, Sibusiso Vilakazi, not an out-and-out striker. And you are left then with Yannick Zakrie, who's maybe a number 10 at best, and you're left with Fiston Abdul-Razak, who was on loan at Bloemfontein Celtic. Options, would Sundowns let a player go, a number 9 go, which was their only number 9?
Well, the two things. One, he hasn't been playing regularly, so de facto he's out the equation to a certain extent. They've been playing with him being injured and on the bench, so they're not unhappy to not have him in the team. That's the first thing. Secondly, Cuthbert in the season before he went to Wits was superb as a striker, and he did very, very well. If you look at the stats, his stats, goal scoring stats and assist stats, were the highest in the league. So he is an option, but he doesn't seem to be a favorite right now. But you never know. Pizzo may come back into the reckoning. Zakrie started wide initially, but he's been playing down the middle and he has started to score goals, so that's an option as well. But they could also sign somebody else. And the other thing is, Pizzo's not scared to play without a true number nine, with a false number nine. In fact, and this is a very important answer to your question, when they won the title with Billet and Castro in such good form, Castro would start as 9, but would then move out wide to the right wing and create a space for Billet to go into. So modern football, you're not static in your positions. It's more the smaller teams that play in static positions, but tactically astute teams like Sundowns and with coach like Pizzo Mosimane there, their whole thing about is switching and changing formation. So even if Castro played, he doesn't play as an out-and-out striker. And funny enough, only Cuthbert played more as an out-and-out striker in that first season. But the Pizzo's tactics change every season, and within the season their tactics change as well. So sometimes within a game their tactics change. So it's not necessarily that they'll keep him just because they want a traditional number 9.
And in conclusion, we know that for a fact in the press conference that Chairman Ivan Khoza did allude to the fact that whilst Manyisa is going the other way, there is an expectation that there will be players moving from Mamelodi Sundowns to Orlando Pirates. He alluded to that fact. Was that the greatest hint that we may see Leonardo Castro go to Orlando Pirates?
Yeah, so definitely. And the other hint is that the Nigerian striker has gone back to let you know where the possible potential position is. But they also need centre back. So, you know, this is a situation where the new coach is going to have some kind of say, Micho, in who they're going to get. So maybe he needs to watch a few more videos. But a very interesting thing is that we all know that what's happened during the week, and we broke the story and developed the story with the new assistant coach Rulani coming across to Orlando Pirates. He will have a big say in who should the team sign, because he's worked intimately with the players. He knows these players on and off the field, so he would have a great say in that as well. But then there's the added factor. It's all very well Sundowns and Orlando Pirates agreeing on a particular player, where it be a centre-back like Boysens or Castro up front, or Ngele or even Cuthbert Malagila, any one of these players, you still got to agree terms with the player and the agent. So that's what's probably happening right now.
Will Castro be a Orlando Pirates player before the end of this transfer window? Well, we've just dissected it for you. Peter Dutoy is the founder of Sokola Duma. Thank you very much for your time.
Don't discount Kaiser Chiefs on this one either.
All right, that's very interesting as well.
Labisi went the one way, and they haven't spoken about a transfer fee. They haven't mentioned the transfer fee. Don't be surprised if a player or two comes across, whether it's Mashaba or it's Castro either. So there's a lot more in this transfer window. just keep following it on the Soccer Luma site and on Wednesday in the papers.
Well, if I were you, the listener, I would trust information from this man. Peter, once again, thank you very much, man. It's still the transfer window, and Neymar's transfer, as was predicted, there was a ripple effect. He moved to PSG from FC Barcelona. FC Barcelona has millions in their bank account, and they need to replace Neymar. And so there are few people linked with FC Barcelona. I'm joined now by Soccer Luma international journalist Kurt Buckerfield. Kurt, thank you very much for your time. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, man?
I'm very, very well, man. Before we get to that, Manchester United lost to Real Madrid in the UEFA Super Cup, and one of the players that Mourinho was, well, looking at, or he wanted, he really ideally would have wanted him, he was fantasizing about him, was Gareth Bale. Now there's been some sort of confirmation that he's staying at Real Madrid. Before we open up about our stories, what do you think is going to happen there?
I don't see that happening this season. So what happened was, Mourinho before the game said that if Bale wasn't included in Zidane's plans for the match, it was perhaps a sign that he wasn't
in the plans
for the season.
Mm.
So, I don't know, a bit of mind games by Mourinho, basically saying, Bale didn't have a great preseason, so it was almost like, please play him, and then it was almost like, please don't play him, because we would love to take him from you. And he said, if he doesn't start and he's not in Zidane's plans, then we'll be waiting on the other side. But I can't see that happening this season. A lot of pundits and former United players, they've said that they can see Bale at United in a couple of seasons, maybe even next season. Ryan Giggs came forward and said that. But it's not going to happen this season. I can't see Real Madrid selling. There's no need to. They've got rid of a few players this season and they haven't bought big. So it wouldn't make sense. I don't think it would happen this season.
And of course, another player, speaking about Real Madrid, another player that they can potentially lose to Paris Saint-Germain is Kylian Mbappe. There's a story there. You know more about that. Let us know what's going on at the moment about that story.
Yeah, well, reports in Spain last night were saying that Kylian Mbappe had agreed to move to PSG, 180 million euros.
Mm. Which is another big signing for PSG.
Huge.
I mean, there were concerns about UEFA financial fair play rules and FIFA financial fair play rules. And now another major signing. I mean, what's going on there?
Well, it first appeared like the signing was going to happen, but there have been reports now from a very reliable source in France, saying that Monaco and PSG have both denied that an agreement has been reached. But the reports were coming from Spain and England. It was all over, which took everybody off guard. As you just said now, you know, they spent 222 million euros on Neymar. So to think that they would spend another 180 more on Mbappe would be...
It would certainly be a breach. But now if the sources in France are anything to go by, then that would mean that Real Madrid are still in the running. Do you think they are still front runners for the player? Because we know that Zinedine Zidane is an admirer of the player.
I think if he does leave in this transfer window, it would be to Real Madrid. As you just said, now Zidane is a big admirer of the player. He has kind of hinted that he would love to play there. He idolizes Ronaldo. He's only 18 years old, so to think that he would be going for that kind of money now, it's crazy, but he's really a talented player. So I think it could happen still. Madrid have sold a lot of players.
But Monaco keeps on losing players, though. I mean, that's another concern.
Yes, yeah.
Do they want to dismantle what they already have?
Well, of course not. But what can they do when players are coming for their clubs? Like, we've seen Benjamin Mendy leave, Tomi Bakayoko leave. Bernardo Silva went to Manchester City.
There's a hint that he may leave.
Exactly. So I don't think there's much they can do
they're in the Champions League, though. Your opinion about it, quickly before we move on. They're in the Champions League, and what do you want to do there? Do you just want to add the numbers as a big team as Monaco, because they won the Ligue 1 championship last season? So don't they want to represent France well in the Champions League?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be the thinking, but I think, you know, Monaco don't have a huge stadium. They're a big club in France, but not in European football. I mean, everybody knows the club, but they aren't winning titles, whether it's UEFA Europa League or UEFA Champions League. Yes, they made it to the semi-finals last season, but this generation of players perhaps tells you more of a story than the actual club's history. I think they've got a great group of players, or they had a great crop of players. But it's only natural that they lose those guys, because big clubs are going to be after them, and they're all young. Last season, I think the average age of one of their semi-finals in the Champions League was like 23 or 24. So, I mean, it's really, it was great to see them do so well, especially with an 18-year-old up front. But it's something that you can't sustain. I mean, clubs are going to, big clubs, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester City, they're going to come for your players and you're going to have to lose them.
And talking about big teams, Barcelona need to replace a big player that they lost to PSG, which is smaller than Barcelona in terms of history, but they still lost a big player. Now, Liverpool have released a statement. You'll tell us more about that. Dembele missed training. Liverpool released a statement on Coutinho, Coutinho being linked with FC Barcelona. Ousmane Dembele from FC Borussia Dortmund, rather, he missed training. So those players, those two players are linked with FC Barcelona. Let's start with Liverpool's statement. What was that about?
So, of course, Barcelona have been trying to replace Neymar, find a replacement for Neymar. Coutinho obviously wouldn't be a natural replacement. He's not really a marauding left wing. But they have been trying to find somebody for their midfield. They had a bid rejected last week, and yesterday was reported they had another bid rejected. And now Liverpool have come out and insisted that they are not selling Coutinho at any price. He will be a Liverpool player come the end of the transfer season, transfer window. So it's great for Liverpool fans, of course. But it's a massive...
Your experience, what does it tell you? Rejecting 100 million, does that mean that they want 190 million or they really don't want any of this?
Yeah, I think they don't want to sell Coutinho at all. He's loved by the fans there. He's been in that team for a while now. And I think Coutinho, he loves playing for the club. You know, he was there. They kind of gave him a chance because he came from Inter Milan when he was seen as like he was a talented kid, a wonder kid if you want. But he kind of wasn't living up to the expectation. Liverpool almost handed him a lifeline and said, come play with us.
And he suddenly became a star there eventually.
Exactly. He struggled in the first couple of seasons and then he really found his boots. He started playing really well, linking up with Gerard, Suarez, and he's a fan favourite. So I don't think the club want to lose him for any sum of money.
The interesting thing about the statement released by Liverpool is that the player has subsequently then handed in a transfer request.
Yeah, so basically in half an hour, 45 minutes after Liverpool released a statement saying that they aren't selling Coutinho for any price, the player has reportedly put in a transfer request, an official transfer request. He wants to go to Barcelona.
Yeah, that's quite clear. And I mean, he's the front line then to replace Neymar then.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I think, I mean, this is crazy because, you know, the club have just rejected two bids for the player. There were reports that were saying that he hasn't asked to leave. He has behaved well, and now the latest reports from Sky Sports are saying that the player's handed in his transfer request, he wants to leave. So, of course, it'll be interesting to see how things happen from here.
Yeah, that's quite massive, though, I think. I suppose that it's interesting, like you say, and we'll see how it goes. And, of course, one door closes, another one slightly is opening with Dembele missing Borussia Dortmund's training. What's happening there?
Yeah, Dembele was reported yesterday. Dortmund actually came out and said that Dembele wasn't at training, they couldn't get hold of him, he was unreachable. Then new reports came out saying that the player was found, and many of them saying he was on his way to Barcelona to go discuss a deal. The latest, however, is that Dortmund also rejected a 100 million euro bid, 120 million euro bid for the player, which is, again, crazy. He's a 20-year-old going... And they're obviously, they want more money because it's the player's dream to play for Barcelona. He said that before.
And I saw a statement saying that the money, the amount does not reflect the player's talent and the European transfer market. Essentially what they are saying, from my interpretation, is that if one team can pay 222 million euros for a player, the one that we have, we evaluate his talent very close to the one that was bought for 222 million euros. So maybe they're looking at 200 million euros.
Well, exactly. They know that that's the problem Barcelona face now, is that they know Barcelona have the money. They've just got 220 million from Neymar's deal. So any player that Barca go for now, you know, that club are just gonna up his price by maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 million because they can, because they know Barcelona have to spend and eventually they will get desperate. They still haven't really replaced Neymar. It's been a week and a half now, 2 weeks. They haven't really replaced him. It's obviously difficult to do that. But they know that Barcelona are going to get desperate. The closer we get to the end of transfer deadline, Barcelona are just going to have to spend the money. So They were after Dybala, they were after Coutinho, they've been after Dembele. That, of course, could still happen. Dortmund haven't come out and said, no, we refuse to sell. They're just rejecting these bids.
They're giving him a higher evaluation.
Exactly.
All right,
yeah.
So with the done deals now, Neymar obviously done to PSG. And of course, a Manchester United player just went across to Crystal Palace. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Timothy Fosu-Mensah, a great talent, young Dutch defender. He's just gone on loan to Crystal Palace for the season, which is great for the player to get experience. I'm sure he would be going there to get first in football.
All right. Thank you very much, Kurt. We're looking forward to speaking to you further. Kurt Buckerfield is Sokala Duma's international journalist. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gents. Catch more transfer news on the Sokala Duma website as always. Next week, we'll introduce a new match day preview show looking at upcoming PSL fixtures. We'll still give you a wrap of the top transfers within that show until the closure of the transfer window. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.